Hello, friends. This is the Laughing Buddha, and you are listening to the latest edition of the Scooter Diaries podcast. Welcome aboard. It's Sunday, November 4th, and I'm recording this at about 4:47 p.m. That's Central Standard Time. But there you go. So we survived another one of those daylight savings time changes. And here we are recording a little podcast. And I thought I would let you know what's been happening with Chez Moi. So I'm fiddling around here with this gain on this microphone. So hopefully this sounds okay. And I just want to let you know what's been going on. So we got a bit of an update here. Yesterday, I woke up earlier than I had really wanted to drive out to my sister's place to take my nephew's senior portrait. Do you remember your yearbook days? Yeah. Well, he wanted to take some photos at a couple of local parks in Stacy, Minnesota, which is where my sister and her family lives. It's about 35 miles north of St. Paul. So I got in the car early with a cup of coffee and drove out there, and we ended up taking about 129 different photos at three different locations and four different wardrobe changes. Yeah, I think my nephew might take after his uncle, but that remains to be seen. So after that, I came home and did a few things around the house. I managed to get a bunch of stuff that's in the attic out of the attic, so the next phase in my remodel project can continue, which is the drywall installation. And yesterday, so I had to take a bunch of, there was an old chimney stovepipe and ductwork that was discovered in the attic that I was insulating with my contractor a month or two ago. And basically we had to drag all this junk out before we could put in the 18 inches of blown-in insulation. And isn't this exciting podcasting? I'm talking about insulating my attic. Anyway, I took all this metal out of the attic and onto the curb where it was picked up by somebody in the neighborhood, which is kind of fun because, you know what, I'm a cheapskate. I don't want to pay to have someone haul this stuff away, and scrap metal has some sort of value. So all the more power to them if somebody wants to take this junk off my hands. So I brought that out to the curb, and in about an hour and a half, it was gone. So that's one less headache I have to worry about. So after doing a few things around the house, I ended up having dinner with several of my friends last evening. My friend Christopher, his partner was attending the Madonna concert that was taking place here in St. Paul. So he invited me and a couple other friends over for dinner. And we passed a very pleasant evening talking about this and that and enjoying a meal together. One of the topics of our conversation was politics. And looking at the clock now, there's about 51 hours and 10 minutes left until this election is over. And Of course, you've heard me talk ad nauseum about the Vote No amendment that is happening in the state of Minnesota, and I have to report that it's neck and neck. It's literally down to the wire, and it could go either way. So I am looking forward to hopefully celebrating Minnesota being the first state who has a constitutional amendment on the ballot to vote no. I think that would be pretty exciting, but I know the jaded, cynical part of me basically has accepted the fact that it will probably pass. But I could be surprised. I wouldn't mind that in the least. So I am fed up with politics. Being at work lately has been rather challenging because everybody has an opinion and they feel that it is their right as an American citizen to call a public radio station and bellyache about it. And quite frankly, that's not going to change anything. And you venting to the poor schlub who has to answer the phone, you know, it's not constructive. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all and just shut your mouth. I am really tired of people feeling that they have the right to just spew whatever opinion or thought that comes into their head. You know, it was a time in society or in polite society where you didn't talk about things like politics, money, sex, or religion. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, it would be really kind of nice to go back to those little rules where you just keep your mouth shut about certain things, especially when you are dealing with everybody, because tolerance is something that's really important to me. And if you want to live in a democratic society, you better get used to people having differing opinions other than your own. That's part of the deal. You just listening to people who agree with you isn't really helping us create a tolerant society. And I will be the first one to defend your right to free speech rights as a person as well. So the civil discourse has just gone totally out of our political rhetoric, and frankly, I'm tired of it. So please go vote on Tuesday. It's important. I don't care who you vote for, but vote. We've reached a point in American history where it's no longer something that's nice to do. It's your duty. Yes, I said duty. And you need to do it. So make sure you go out and vote on Tuesday. And hopefully I'll come back on this next podcast with good news. I think that would be just fabulous. Some of the other things I've been doing. Last weekend, I finally put Viper, my scooter, to bed. I went out into the garage and loaded up the tank with a little bit of stable fuel stabilizer and basically put the scooter to bed because all the little leaves have now blown off the trees and we will be getting snow probably. You know, it's typical for us to get a couple of flurries before Thanksgiving, but certainly afterwards, that's when the snow flies. And we usually have a white Christmas and about 50 inches of snow throughout the winter. So the scooter has been put to bed, and I ran the lawnmower dry of gasoline. I gassed up the snow thrower, and it's ready to go. It started on the second pull. So, you know, if you take care of your things will take care of you. And I think that's the importance of maintenance and that sort of thing. So I also cleaned out the garage. It was getting kind of grungy in there, so it's nice to have that kind of out of the way and cleaned up and organized in a way where we can just go forward with winter and look forward to spring. Let's see, what else has been going on? I want to let you know about an upcoming show that will be happening, hopefully. The Faye Driver is going to hold another live episode of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, and I believe that is tentatively scheduled. It could change for Friday, November 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you tune into that. You can listen on pride48live.com. I know they've also been talking about updating the website, so pride48.com will probably get you there as well. So that's really all that's been happening with me. I did want to mention something that I came across in my podcast listening. Of a podcast, I've only heard a couple of episodes, but I'm really hooked at this point and am looking forward to getting caught up with the episodes as they are happening. And that's the Gay Confidence Coach podcast. You can find it at gayconfidencecoach.com. I believe it should be available on iTunes at this point. If you want to use that delivery method, I subscribe to the RSS feed on my Android phone and have downloaded a few episodes. And I'm really liking his style and what his podcast is about. So I want to encourage you to give a listen to that as well. So I have a chicken in the oven at the moment that is going to require my attention. But I did want to leave you with this excerpt from a TED Talk that is really getting some press. And the fellow who is speaking is Nick Hanauer. And this talk actually isn't on the TED Talk website. It's been a political hot potato. And I found the audio on YouTube, and it's a little over 5.5 minutes or so. I want you to give a listen. He's a venture capitalist and a very wealthy man who says that we've got it wrong and that we've had some bad policy for the last 30 years. And in order to change it, we need to raise taxes on the rich. And his argument is very compelling. And I want you to give a listen, and I'd love to hear from you what you think of it. You can call my listener line at area code 612-56-SCOOT. That's area code 612-567-2668. And, of course, you can always write to me at thescooterdiaries@gmail.com. I want to thank you so very much for taking the time out to listen to me. And until next time, do take care.
It is astounding how significantly one idea can shape a society and its policies. Consider this one. If taxes on the rich go up, job creation will go down. This idea is an article of faith for Republicans and seldom challenged by Democrats, and has indeed shaped much of the economic landscape. But sometimes the ideas that we are certain are true are dead wrong. Consider that for thousands of years, humans believed that the Earth was the center of the universe. It's not, and an astronomer who still believed that it was would do some pretty terrible astronomy. Likewise, a policymaker who believes that the rich are job creators and therefore should not be taxed will do equally terrible policy. I have started or helped start dozens of companies and initially hired lots of people, but if there was no one around who could afford to buy what we had to sell, all those companies and all those jobs would have evaporated. That's why I can say with confidence that rich people don't create jobs, nor do businesses, large or small. Jobs are a consequence of a circle of life-like feedback loop between customers and businesses. And only consumers can set in motion this virtuous cycle of increasing demand and hiring. In this sense, an ordinary consumer is more of a job creator than a capitalist like me. That's why when business people take credit for creating jobs, it's a little bit like squirrels taking credit for creating evolution. It's actually the other way around. Anyone who's ever run a business knows that hiring more people is a course of last resort for capitalists. It's what we do if and only if rising consumer demand requires it. And in this sense, calling ourselves job creators isn't just inaccurate, it's disingenuous. That's why our existing policies are so upside down. When the biggest tax exemptions and the lowest tax rates benefit the richest, all in the name of job creation, all that happens is that the rich get richer. Since 1980, the share of income for the top 1% of Americans has more than tripled, while our effective tax rates have gone down by 50%. If it was true that lower taxes for the rich in jobs. And thank you. And yet unemployment and underemployment is at record highs. Another reason that this idea is so wrong-headed is that there can never be enough super rich people to power a great economy. Somebody like, but I don't buy hundreds three cars, not 3,000. I buy a few pairs of pants and shirts a year like most American men. Occasionally we go out to eat with friends. I can't buy enough of anything to make for the fact that millions of unemployed and underemployed Americans can't buy any new cars, any clothes, or enjoy any meals out. Nor can I make up for the falling consumption of the vast majority of middle-class families that are barely squeaking by, buried by spiraling costs and trapped by stagnant or declining wages. Here's an incredible fact, that if the typical American family still retained the same share of income that they did in 1970, they'd earn like $45,000 more a year. Imagine what our economy would be like if that were the case. Significant privileges have come to people like me, capitalists, for being perceived as job creators at the center of the economic universe, and the language and metaphors we use to defend the current economic and social arrangements is telling. It's a small jump from job creator to the creator. This language obviously wasn't, this language was not chosen by accident. And it's only honest to admit that when somebody like me calls themselves a job creator, we're not just describing how the economy works, but more particularly, we're making a claim on status and privileges that we deserve. Speaking of special privileges, the extraordinary differential between the 15% tax rate that capitalists pay on carried interest, dividends, and capital gains, and the 35% top marginal rate on work that ordinary Americans pay, is kind of hard to justify without a touch of deification. We've had it backwards for the last 30 years. Rich people like me don't create jobs. Feedback loop between customers and businesses. And when the middle class thrives, businesses. That's why taxing the rich to pay for investments that benefit all is such a fantastic deal for the middle class and the rich. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's an idea worth spreading. In a capitalist economy, the true job creators are middle class consumers. And taxing the rich to make investments that make the middle class grow and thrive is the single shrewdest thing we can do for the middle class, for the poor, and for the rich. Thank you.